I haven't preached in Ecclesiastes in over 20 years. It's just one of those books you don't touch that often. But chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes actually has a passage that is literally life-changing. And if you will allow the Holy Spirit today, He can change your life through this passage. It's something we don't think about very often, and that is vows. When we make a vow to the Lord, He takes it seriously. We may not, but He does, as we'll see. Actually, before we do that, I had a couple of things. Tonight we continue our journey in Exodus chapter 3, where God said to Moses, "I will be with thee." So the calling of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 tonight, great opportunity to grow. Romans chapter 11, until the fullness of the Gentiles. So a very dispensational passage in Romans 11, Wednesday night. I want to publicly thank Jim, for all the work he put into providing amazing meals at our young adult retreat, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The food was amazing, especially Thursday night's dinner. Wow. It had everything, roast everything, and even stuffing with gravy, and then steam pudding for pudding. But thank you, Jim, for that. And then Caitlin and Ewa spent hours helping him in the kitchen and also helping with childcare so that some of the young couples with little ones could enjoy the retreat. So thank you, young ladies, for your help there. And thank you to the Basics group in general for just putting it all together, making the schedule full and efficient. And I know that there will be some testimonies tonight regarding our second annual young adult retreat. Next up is our teen camp. So please, if you're between 12 and 19, sign up at the sign-up sheet at the back and plan to have an amazing time in God's Word and fellowship and fun on the 14th to the 18th of October at Findlay Park in Cambridge. All right, Ecclesiastes 5. We're going to look at the first six verses together and just ask the Holy Spirit in your heart to speak to you today. Ecclesiastes 5, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands?" So our title today is A Vow Unto God. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word and the privilege to open it together, that we have a copy in our hands. And we ask that now the Holy Spirit would use it in our hearts, each one personally and powerfully, whatever the needs might be, that you would meet those needs. And Lord, that you would guide us this morning in your truth, and you would be honored as we lift you up together this morning. So we love you, and we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So God says it's a big deal when we go to the house of God. Amen. We often take it for granted. We often make light of it. But God doesn't. And the New Testament equivalent would be 1 Timothy 3:15. If you want to turn there, keep your place here in Ecclesiastes 5. But with your other hand, look at 1 Timothy 3:15. And here, the Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy, a pastor, and talking about the importance of the local church. He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, that which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. God doesn't say that about any other organism but the local church, that it is the pillar and ground of the truth. And then Hebrews chapter 12, 28, with your other hand. Hebrews 12, 28. The Bible says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Folks, it's not the building. This is just a building. We could just as easily meet out in the grass. Amen? And we'd still be the local church. So don't confuse the building for the house of God. But God says we need to come behaving ourselves, as it said there in 1 Timothy 3:15, and with reverence. We need to come expecting to hear from God. And that's exactly what he says here in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 5. Be more ready to hear. So when you come to the house of God, come to hear. Now somebody today, that's not why they go to church. They don't go to church to hear the word of God. They go to church to hear a rock band. And that's not what it's talking about, is it? Or they're coming for a ministry of some sort, or they're coming for fellowship, which those are all good things. But our primary reason for coming to church should be to hear this. That's the bottom line. And God even prophesied that in these last days, which we find ourselves in, that would become less and less of an emphasis in most churches, and we're there. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:3. We're in that time where it's not about the truth. It's not about doctrine anymore. It's about entertainment. So God says, when we come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to speak. In other words, he gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And so when we come to the house of God, shouldn't we come with this attitude, Lord, I want to hear from you today. Speak to me today. I'm allowing my heart to be open. I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to me today. You know what? If we will come with that attitude, we will never walk away disappointed. We will walk away like David and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But if we come expecting other things, we may get disappointed because man will always let us down. But in the scriptures we're told, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, 1 Peter 2:2, that ye may grow thereby. We come to the house of the Lord to hear. And that's why pastors are told to preach the word. They're told to feed the flock. It's all about the word of God and must be. That's why our name is Bible Baptist Church. We've had that name for over 40 years now. It wasn't a mistake. Bible comes first. Amen? So back to our passage here in Ephesians 5. He says, verse 1, it's more be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Yes, we're here to hear. We're also here to give sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice consisted of an innocent animal that had to lose its life and shed its blood. In the New Testament, what is our sacrifice? Well, Hebrews 13, 15 gives us a bit of light, if you want to turn there. Hebrews 13, 15. But I submit to you that in the church age in which we find ourselves, the greatest sacrifice that you can offer God on any given Sunday is yourself. Are we not told in Romans chapter 1 to present our bodies a living sacrifice? That's not a sacrifice of fools, saying, I'm yours, Lord. Take me and use me. But notice Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, talking about Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. So there we have three different ways that we can make sacrifices to the Lord. We can give thanks. Sunday nights are a beautiful opportunity to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. We can do good. We can do good to one another. And we can communicate. And that's not talking about talking. That's an older usage of the word communicate, which means our interaction with one another. The way that we love one another is through our actions. And so we can be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can be giving thanks unto the Lord. It says, for with such sacrifices, Hebrews 13:16, God is well pleased. So come to hear, he says. And if you're going to give sacrifice, give scriptural, biblical sacrifices. Yourself, praise, and being a blessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Here in Ecclesiastes 5, then in verse 2, he says, be not rash with thy mouth. Be careful, in other words, what you say. I wonder how many times in the overall Bible we're warned about the tongue. I know Proverbs, over 10% of Proverbs is just about the tongue. James chapter 3, the whole chapter is about the tongue. God says, be not rash. David said in Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. David actually prayed. He said, Lord, please protect me from saying things I shouldn't. Not only to each other, but even before the Lord. But keep a watch before my mouth. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. So here God is contrasting verse 1, hearing, versus verse 2, speaking. He says, when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to be rash with your mouth. And then he says, why? Verse 2, let not that heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God's in heaven and thou upon earth. That's that reverence again, isn't it? God tells us in Isaiah 55, he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, we need to come with this attitude that if we are going to come and we are going to speak anything before God, we need to come with this attitude of reverence that I'm just a wicked sinner saved by grace and God is the God of the universe. That we can't be flippant about it. And that's really the point of the whole passage, is be careful. Because God is always listening. And that's why he says there in verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 5, let thy words be few. Boy, that one thing could save a lot of people from a lot of heartache, couldn't it? Let thy words be few. Let's look at an example in Proverbs 17, verse 27. Proverbs 17:27. Notice it says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. He that keeps his mouth shut is considered the wise one. That's what it says. And so after laying this groundwork of when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to speak. And he's primarily talking about speaking before God. Don't be rash. Let thy words be few. Be careful. Think about before you go and say something before God that you shouldn't. And then that brings us down to the heart of the thing. Verse 4, for when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Please do not think that this is just talking about money. When he says pay it, he isn't just talking about paying a debt. He's saying when you make a vow, keep it. David understood this. Look at Psalm 66, verse 13. And verse 14 as well. Psalm 66, 13 and 14. We'll just look at a couple of biblical examples here. This is from David's life. He said, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. Psalm 66:13. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken. Look at this last phrase. When I was in trouble. How many times in our Christian lives have we been in a situation where we think our life is threatened? We think we're at the end of our rope. And we think it's okay to start making deals with God. Well, God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. That's what he says. When I was in trouble, Lord, when I was in trouble, I uttered these vows, and now I'm here to pay them. So, yes, it is a human thing to make promises to God when we are in trouble. But does God expect us to keep them? Absolutely. And how many times have we uttered a vow unto the Lord and then said, well, that's because I was in trouble. As we'll see later, it was an error. So there's one example, the life of David. Another is Hannah. Most of you are familiar with Hannah. We use Hannah as an example when we do baby dedications, 1 Samuel chapter 1. She made a vow, it says. Let's look at it, 1 Samuel 1:11. The Bible actually calls it a vow. This was a big vow. It says she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but thou will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She couldn't have children. Her husband had two wives, the other one could, and made fun of her for not being able to have children. She went to the house of the Lord and she prayed. Lord, if you'll give me a man-child, I'll give him back to you. That might sound like no big deal, but she meant physically. And down in verse 28, look what it says. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. She literally took him to the temple and said, he's yours. And Samuel, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, grew up in the temple. Because Hannah kept her vow. God gave her the man-child. She gave him back. That's one example. Look at Genesis 28. Another example from Jacob's life. Who eventually became Israel. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20. Down to verse 22. And he... Notice Genesis 28:20 says, and Jacob vowed a vow, there it is again, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now go to Genesis chapter 31. Years and years later, Jacob survived and was allowed to come back to that spot, just like he prayed that God would allow. And this is God speaking. Genesis 31:13. I am the God of Bethel. That, by the way, is the name that he gave to the stone that he just mentioned. Where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. This is years later. God speaking to Jacob, and he said, okay, Jacob, this is where you made the vow. And by the way, I remember the vow. And I did my part. Here you are, back at Bethel. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return into the land of thy kindred. And Jacob became the father of God's children. So God took these vows seriously, didn't he? And God says here in Ecclesiastes 5:4, when you vow a vow, defer not to pay it. Back in Ecclesiastes 5:5, he says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. this is God speaking. He says, just don't make the vow in the first place if you don't plan to keep it. If it's just a flippant thing, just don't open your mouth. Don't even say it. Better, you're better off not making the vow than to make the vow and not keep it. This is God speaking. We're told in James 5:12, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. Let your yea be yea and let your nay, nay. This is God speaking in James 5:12. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. But we get to the New Testament and we have the example of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. The church is just beginning. People are selling off lands and houses to help the Christians that are suffering because of persecution from the Jews over Christianity. And Ananias and Sapphira get together and they say, boy, it sure be nice for everybody to give us a big pat on the back. So let's say we sold it for this much. Say we gave it all. Let's actually not give it all. So we get the pat on the back, but we're still giving some to the Lord, but not all. Well, that was their choice. They didn't have to give anything. This was a voluntary offering. And when Peter rebuked them, he says, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And if you think God didn't take it seriously, the Bible says he struck them dead on the spot. New Testament. But probably, if you go to Hebrews 11, probably the one of the saddest and yet most poignant ones in the entire Bible is Jephthah. If you've never read the story of Jephthah, you need to go read it in the Old Testament. But we come to the New Testament and God actually lifts him up as a man of faith. Notice Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah. And that's it. Just his name is mentioned. That's it. And then it moves on. And you just say, oh, Jephthah, yeah, he's one of those great heroes of the faith. Well, if you go back and read the story of Jephthah, and if you don't know the story, that's fine. How many know the story of Jephthah? Oh, good. This is good. So all of you need to read this week. Jephthah made a vow because Israel was again oppressed. This is in the time of the judges. And the Gentile oppressors were about to take the city again and again. And you know how that went. And Jephthah was going to be one of the leaders to rescue Israel. He made a promise, a vow. Said, Lord, if you'll deliver us, the first thing that comes through my door after you deliver us is yours. I will sacrifice it to you. And right after he made the promise, his daughter walked in. It's the first Israelite human sacrifice in the Bible. And only, thank God. You say, how cruel, how horrible, how terrible. He let her go and wail her virginity first, but he eventually sacrificed her to the Lord and kept his vow. You might say, that's horrible. That's just terrible. God didn't ask him to make that vow, but God expected him to keep it. And we get to the New Testament and God says, Jephthah, just Jephthah. There's the name. Who was Jephthah? Jephthah made a vow. And God expected him to keep it. And you might say, that's heavy. Yeah, it is. And in verse 6, Ecclesiastes 5, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. In other words, oops, sorry, Lord, didn't mean to make that vow. Oops, sorry to say that. I take it back. There's no take backs with God. Aren't you glad God doesn't take back his vows to us, his promises to us? He says, I am the Lord, I change not. If God's made a promise, God's going to keep it. Amen? 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. God is a promise-keeping God. The thing about God is God expects us to be the same. Look at Romans 11:29 quickly, if you would. And so, no, there's no take backs. We can't say, Lord, I know I made this vow, but I made it because I was under duress. I made it because I was in the middle of a trial. So I'd rather just, you know, take it back. There aren't any take backs. Romans 11:29, by the way, there's no take backs with God's vows either. It says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Someone tells me God called me into the ministry and then they quit the ministry. Either they weren't called in the first place, or they're stepping out of the will of God now. Because if God calls you, he doesn't say, oh, change my mind, never mind, I didn't really call you. No, it doesn't work like that. You just don't find that in the scriptures, do you? God calls you to do something, it's for life. Amen? Look at the disciples. Look at Paul. Paul didn't get 20 years in and say, whew, I'm tired, Lord, I'm retiring. I'm going on the super. Now, he served God until the day he died, as did all the disciples. So when God makes a promise, when God makes a vow, he keeps it. And he wants us to do the same. And he says there in verse 6, wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? And it just makes us all wonder, how many blessings are we missing out on because God is waiting for us to keep our vows? No, I didn't expect this message to be super comfortable, but sometimes the word's like that. But if we have gone to the house of God and we have been alone with God and we've made a vow unto the Lord, whatever that might be, that's between you and God. God didn't forget. Maybe we did, but he didn't. And maybe he's just waiting for us to keep the vow that we made so that you can move on in your Christianity and enjoy the blessings of God. Maybe he'll stop destroying the work of your hands if you'll follow through. And I know a lot of times it's in tough times that we make these vows. God says, then don't make them. Remember what he said up there in verse 4 or verse 5. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Just don't make the vow. Because if you did, God expects you to keep it. He always keeps his. Hallelujah. And that's how we know we're going to heaven and we're safe and secure in Christ, because God keeps his promises. He says if we've made a vow, we have to keep it. So does it still apply today? Of course it does. James 5 makes it very clear that our yea is to be yea and our nay is to be nay. And that we're not to swear. We're not to say, I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on this. I swear on that. God says, that's not a scriptural thing to do. That's not what Christians do. You don't swear on anything. Because there's only one God. And he's everything. So to swear on anything else is saying that that thing is greater than God. And we can't do that. So, as we contemplate this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit has been reminding you about a vow you made sometime along the way, and he's waiting for you to keep it. I don't care what it is. It's not between me and you. It's between you and God. But don't keep pushing it aside. If the Holy Spirit keeps bringing it up, you got to deal with it. If you've made a vow to the Lord, if you've made a promise to God, he's waiting. And he may just be withholding all these blessings, waiting for you to keep this vow that you've made to him. And if you choose to continue to ignore the Holy Spirit, it's just going to continue to hinder those blessings and that fellowship with the Lord. Because God's not going to quit reminding you. That's just how it works with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? If there's something there that needs dealt with, the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with it for a little while and then say, okay, I'm done. I'll come back in a couple years. It doesn't work that way, does it? Well, if there's something there that needs dealt with, the Holy Spirit, every time you get on your knees, it's the first thing that comes up. You open up the Word. Oh, there it is again. You know why? Because he wants you to deal with it. That's why he's there. So as we contemplate a vow unto God, I would hope that we would be honest with God if there's a vow we have not kept, and we would strive to make it right. You know, there's many vows in the Scripture. There's many implied vows. In Proverbs chapter 2, we read about the covenant of her God, talking about a vow, a quiet vow that God has between every young woman and himself, that she'll keep herself till marriage. That's what he's talking about there in Proverbs 2. That's a vow. This day and age, people could care less, and they all break it anyway, but it's there. When we get in a marriage ceremony, do we make something called a vow? Yep. See, they're everywhere, aren't they? So I hope that we'll just be honest with the Holy Spirit. I didn't preach to the unsaved. If you're in our service and you're not born again, that's why Jesus died. This message wasn't for you. God loves you. He died for you. He rose again for you. And he offers you eternal life if you'll come to him. And I hope you'll be willing to do that today if you're not saved. If you're a Christian, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, just obey him. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. Sometimes it encourages us. Sometimes it cuts us. And Lord, if there's some today that have been convicted by your word, I pray the Holy Spirit would help that person to get right with you in this matter of the vow that they've made. Along the way, maybe they've made a promise to you, Lord, and they're not keeping it. And I pray that, Lord, they would realize you're waiting for them to keep it. And I pray they will. They'll get it right. And I pray, Lord, that as we contemplate this, that we would also rejoice that you are a God that keeps your promises, and hallelujah for that. Thank you for being faithful. So have your will away in our hearts as we have this invitation time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we could go to hymn number 306, please.